Hello, welcome to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast, where it is all about helping amazing physicians just like you create a wealthy life free from burnout and with the financial security to practice medicine on your own terms. I'm your host, Dr. Elisa Zhang. Welcome back to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. This is the second part of a two-part series discussing traditional versus Roth retirement accounts. If you haven't yet listened to last week's episode, I would encourage you to listen to that episode first and then return to this one. Last week, I really talked about marginal tax rates to determine whether to contribute to a traditional retirement account or a Roth retirement account. This week, I'm going to talk about some of the nuances of these two accounts. As a reminder, with a traditional account, you contribute pre-tax money, which grows tax-free, and then you pay ordinary income taxes when you withdraw money to spend during retirement. With a Roth account, you contribute post-tax money, it grows tax-free, and you don't have to pay taxes on contributions or earnings to spend during retirement. When I'm talking about retirement here, I'm really defining it by when the IRS no longer imposes a penalty from withdrawing from your retirement accounts, which is typically reaching age 59 and a half. Of course, there are exceptions to everything. There is something called the rule of 55. If you turn 55 during the calendar year where you lose or leave your job, you can actually start to take distributions from your traditional 401k or 403b without paying the early withdrawal penalty. You will still pay ordinary income taxes on these distributions. If you or your spouse are a public safety employee, which includes police officers, firefighters, EMTs, and air traffic controllers, then it's possible to take out penalty-free distributions starting the calendar year in which you turn 50 years of age, assuming that you leave your public safety employee job at age 50 or later. This is only true for distributions from the plan specific to the employer you left at age 55 or age 50 for public safety employees. The balance has to stay in the employer's 401k or 403b while you are taking early withdrawals, and you can't roll it over to any other plan or IRA. However, let's say you got a part-time job at age 57 after losing your job at age 55. You could continue to take distributions from your prior employer's plan as long as it has stayed with your prior employer, even though you started working again. Of course, just because you can doesn't mean you should. When you take money out of your retirement account, you are no longer getting that tax-free growth on those funds. And that's also true for when you reach age 59 and a half. If you continue to work past age 59 and a half, and you don't need additional money to cover your living expenses, then you'll likely want to defer taking out distributions from your retirement accounts. When it comes to traditional retirement accounts, the government eventually wants to get its tax dollars. Remember, with a traditional retirement account, you never pay taxes on the money you contributed. At age 72, there is a required minimum distribution, or RMDs, for traditional retirement accounts. The required minimum distribution is calculated by dividing the account balance at the end of the last year by your life expectancy. The IRS provides tables to show life expectancy based on your age, as well as if you're sharing your RMD with a spouse. With Roth retirement accounts, there are no RMDs since the government's already got its taxes. This gives Roth accounts more flexibility. However, if you're going to be spending most of your retirement money, then RMDs are less likely to be an issue. If you plan on retiring early and also plan on withdrawing from your retirement accounts early to fund your early retirement, then contributing to a traditional retirement account is generally better. When retiring early, it's likely that you'll have a bigger spread between your income when you're working compared to your income during retirement. Since in order to retire early, you likely save and invest more of your income while you're working and live on a smaller percentage of that income. Then in retirement, you would only need to take distributions for income according to your spending habits and not to match your prior work income. Also, when you retire early and make withdrawals early, this means there's less time for your investments to grow within the retirement account. So a larger portion of the retirement amount represents your contributions compared to investment earnings. That being said, the majority of employed physicians will need to max out their retirement account contributions and likely also be investing in brokerage accounts to fund a retirement that allows them to continue at the same cost of living as when they were working. Of course, you could also be investing in real estate, but you get my point. Most physicians need to invest more than maxing out their retirement accounts. Because there are limits to how much an employee can contribute to their retirement account, it is important to mention that dollars in Roth accounts are essentially worth more than dollars in traditional accounts for people who max out their 401ks or 403bs. Compare two people who max out their retirement accounts. One person maxes out their traditional 401k, and the other person maxes out their Roth 401k. The two accounts are identically invested in 100% of Vanguard's total U.S. stock index fund. Over time, the two accounts are going to have the exact same balance. However, in retirement, the person with the traditional 401k will have to pay ordinary income taxes on withdrawals and therefore will have less money to spend than the person with the Roth 401k who does not have to pay taxes on any of those withdrawals. The person contributing to the traditional retirement account with pre-tax money did pay less taxes during their working years. Let's say you contribute the full $23,000 into your traditional retirement account, which is the max for 2024. And let's say that your income puts you in the 24% tax bracket, such that your marginal tax rate is 24%. This means that you have a tax savings of $5,520 by contributing to a traditional 401k instead of a Roth 401k. Now, the real question is, what did you do with that $5,520? If you invested that money in a taxable brokerage account or in real estate or anything else that's producing more income, then you're really building your wealth and the advantage of contributing to a Roth 401k is less. On the flip side, if you're spending that money, then you're inflating your cost of living, which means that you'll actually have to set aside more for retirement if you want to be able to retire and not decrease your spending in retirement. Maxing out your Roth 401k will, over time, lead to increasing advantage for many people. The last point I want to touch upon is estate planning. If you want to leave a significant inheritance to your heirs, of which I'm not including your spouse, then you want to use the marginal tax rate of your heirs when you're considering whether to contribute to a traditional retirement account versus a Roth account. When your heirs inherit your traditional retirement account, they will have to withdraw all the money within 10 years. Depending on how much money each heir inherits, this could significantly impact how much they pay in taxes. If you leave a traditional account with $2 million to a single grandchild, then that grandchild would have to withdraw $200,000 plus a year, which will almost definitely increase their marginal tax rate. But if you leave the same account to 10 grandchildren, then each grandchild will receive around $20,000 in distributions a year over 10 years, which is less likely to significantly increase their marginal tax rate. If you leave it to a trust, then the trust ends up paying trust tax rates, which will probably actually be higher than leaving it to a person. With a Roth IRA, your non-spouse heirs will not need to pay taxes on distributions if they liquidate the entire value of the inherited IRA within 5 years, and if the Roth IRA was older than 5 years at the time of the owner's death. Generally, if the goal is to leave more money to heirs, it's better to be in a Roth IRA than a traditional IRA. Of course, you can make conversions of your traditional IRA to your Roth IRA during your retirement years, so that doesn't mean that you have to contribute to a Roth account now if you want to leave a lot of money to your non-spouse heirs. If the goal is to leave money to charity, then having the money in a pre-tax traditional account is better, since the charity won't ever have to pay taxes on the money they inherit from that account. In the end, there's no clear right or wrong decision except that of not investing at all. There are those who call retirement accounts, quote, money jail. It's true that certain accounts limit what you can do with the money once it's in the account. However, there are clear benefits to investing through retirement accounts. Depending on your situation and how you'd like to invest, there are actions you can take to use each type of account to your best advantage. This can even mean investing in real estate through your retirement accounts, but that's a topic for a future episode. Thank you for listening to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. If you would like more handholding when it comes to putting together your financial plan, consider working with me. Go to www.growyourwealthymindset.com to schedule a consultation call, and we can talk about your financial goals and how I may be able to help you get there. A lot of this can seem confusing, but it actually can be broken down more simply, especially when we take your personal situation into account. It's a little harder to generalize for everyone than it is to go through the specifics for one person's case. Whether it's working with me or finding a fiduciary independent financial advisor, I urge you to find whatever help you need in order to take action and reach your financial goals. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you could share it with your friends and colleagues. And now for the disclaimer. I am not a certified financial planner, accountant, or attorney, and nothing I say should be construed as professional investment, tax, or legal advice. This show is primarily for your education and entertainment. I am a physician, but I'm probably not your physician. So if you need any medical advice, please contact your own physician. Thank you.